This is a production of Cornell University.
Thank you. Masters, Victoria.
Here.
Caitlin.
Here.
Figon. And Davis.
So with that, we have quorum, and we can go to approval of the minutes from our last meeting, April 22nd, 2019, where I was not present. Any changes, comments? Any motion to approve?
Second.
Okay, and the six. So you know the minutes so approved. Next on our agenda, we have the most exciting part of this this meeting. It's the elections. And according to our bylaws and charter, the exec is in charge of elections. And since we do happen to have me and Nate who are not running for anything, we are thinking that we could just run this election unless, you know, people have any objection to that. Any objections to me, you know, in charge of elections? Okay, thank you for your trust. I promise I'm not running again. So everyone should have received a bundle of ballots.
They don't need ballots for 1, 2, 3, 5.
You should all be getting a bundle. And we will first do elections of exec, followed by election of the main chairs. And the format that we'll take is that I'll put up in succession, the position that we're currently electing. And the person holding that position currently will speak to explain in a few words what they're doing, what their duties are. And then I will open the floor for nominations. And after which people who are nominated and have accepted the nominations can come to the front to give 2 minutes, maximum 2 minutes speech on why they're running, who they are, etc. After that, I'll open the floor for questions for the candidates, and we have time for a maximum of 2 questions for each position. And when we're asking questions, you're not allowed to point to a certain candidate, so it has to be addressed to all candidates. Okay? And so in that way, I'll try to get us going again as we run through. But let's now start. Yes.
Could you clarify who is able to vote on these positions?
Field reps, ex-official members, no, field reps and voting members.
Okay. Thanks.
So if you're a field rep or a voting member, you're all eligible to vote on this.
Can you explain how the difference vote for
candidate? Oh, yes. You have different options that you can write on your ballot. You can either write the name of the candidate who is running. You know, if you have more than one, you can choose either. And if you only have one candidate running, you also have the option of writing no confidence. And if you have a majority of no confidence, that candidate will not be able to assume the position and will do the election again for that same position, with that candidate being ineligible to run again. Okay, so you have the option of no confidence. Let's start with the president position. And since I'm the current president, I will say a few words on what this position is. So essentially, you chair the meetings, as you have seen me do, every 2 weeks. And you get, you represent, in a way, the GPSA to the upper administration, but also other larger constituents on campus, and you do get invited to a lot of meetings, such as the Board of Trustees meetings, but it's also a lot of really building relationships with a lot of administrators, so that when we have members wanting to work on a specific thing, you know who to connect those people to. That's mainly the job. Okay. Any questions for me? Time commitment, 15 to 30 hours. So it's like having a station. Or at least that's what I have dedicated. But you know, it's not set in stone. You know, there are different ways we could run this. So don't let the numbers scare you. And with that, if there's no question, I'll open the floor for nominations. Kristen.
Andy.
Andy, do you accept the nomination?
Yes.
Okay. Can you please come to the front? Any other nominations? Andy, do you
want to
say something about yourself?
So, hello everybody, my name is Andy Barrientos Gomez. I am a third year in Nomad Studies, and I think this year we accomplished something that is monumental, which is the GPCI. And I don't want it to end with the writing. We have really time to work with that, and that provides us with a really clear platform and actionable items that we can work with. And if you like it, I hope to continue that and to use that as a basis for what we do in the future.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? We can have 2 questions for Andy.
Manisha, in your opinion, what are the 2 biggest issues or 3 biggest issues that you have in the public speaking? Whether or not you have a lot of. What do you think of the issue?
Okay, I think we've heard mentioned with both graduate and professional students, as well as the undergrads, it's mental health. And that's one of the sections on the GPTI that is very clearly outlined and actually can do a lot of work with that. Second issue, I think, would be something as easy as, I know we talked here about teachers, maybe graduates and publishers, and the different options that we have as workers and students of this organization, of this school, and just making the people, making this a sweet work for the people.
Any other questions? Okay, seeing none, you may now use your ballot that says president on it. It's A-N-D-Y, either A-N-D-Y or no confidence, you have that on. Okay, so please write that and give it to either Manisha or Nate. And while we are counting that, I will still stay here momentarily until we confirm the result for that election. So while we are collecting and counting that, and making sure that is okay, let's move on with the executive vice president election. We are moving on with the executive vice president election, and Andy will talk about what his duties are as the current VP.
So, hello everyone. I'm the current vice president, and what we do here on top of the commitment, it's around 15 to 20 hours, maybe a little bit longer on the week before the actual meetings. And that's because we have to be on top of it, organizing these meetings, inviting speakers, and also chairing the executive board for the future. So the future meeting will also be in charge of the membership. So I know a lot of you here are required to be here on it. So the meeting does take attendance and requires appropriate attendance and then pass on. And yes, does anyone have any questions?
Any questions for the EVP position? Okay, seeing none, I'm opening the floor for nominations for executive vice president. Victoria?
Alexa.
Okay, there's been a nomination for Alexa. Do you accept? Okay, Alexa has accepted the nomination for the EVP position. Any other nominations? Okay, so let me know if I don't see your hand on fire. Okay, I don't see anything. So, Alexa, could you tell us a little bit about yourself? No, more about yourself.
Hi, I'm Alexa. I'm currently the Vice President of Communication and the Chair of the GPTI Committee. I'm confident that my experience as the president of communications will help a lot in this position. It'll definitely help with coordinating meetings and inviting speakers, as well as a lot of the organization skills that I learned from GPTI, probably with getting the meetings ready. So I hope that you feel confident in me as your vote.
Okay. Questions? Okay. So your question, please use the executive vice president ballot now and give the option of writing Alexa, A-L-E-X-A, or no confidence. Okay, next on the election agenda is Vice President for Operations. Our current VP Ops is Alex.
Hi, also, I'm the current Vice President of Operations, and the role of the EPO is to both oversee the operations. operations of all the committees, and to also help with staffing both internal and external committees and appointments. So the bulk of the work occurs over the summer and the fall, as we prep essentially a list of things that need to be filled, positions that need to be filled, and I'll help the committees get off the ground. And then as the semester and year goes on, it's mainly filling positions as they crop up, getting reports from people that are on these external positions and making sure that the committees are engaging, which they usually do. But there's always some weird things that come up. So the overall task increment, I would say it could be closer to 15, 20 hours, just like that first initial rush per week of when everything gets up and running. Once it's up and running, it goes back down to 5 or 10 hours.
Any questions?
So we have to go get the nominations first. So let's open the floor for nominations for Vicky Ox. Alexa?
I nominate Victoria for Monday.
Okay. Victoria, do you accept the nomination? Okay, so we have Victoria. One candidate, and any other nominations? Okay, I see none. Victoria,
you say something?
Absolutely.
It's right here.
Oh, wow, yeah. So hello, everyone. For those of you, I have not had the pleasure of meeting any of you before on Sunday. I'm a first-year MPA student in concentration department policy studies. And one of the reasons I wanted to run was after multiple informational interviews with current exec members, I realized there was sort of this constellation, you could say, of good ideas that never really materialized, and I'd like to take that on. So the first thing that I would do as VP Ops is one, create an onboarding packet that would say who we are, how we function, what we do, and how a new member sort of operate in context. Second thing I would like to do is see what committees internally and externally are staffed, write a brief summaries about them, and report them, because I feel that one of the reasons why we have staff issues is because people don't know what to fill. And then the third thing I would like to do is sort of keep track of what happens between meetings and be more transparent, and that would be included in the meeting packet. And although I am a first year, I am vice president of the MPA program. Served as chief operating officer, and I had a few roles in undergrad as chair of public service affairs and outreach committees. And hopefully, I can go to the top if you have any questions. Let me know. Thank you.
Questions?
How would you increase diversity and representation within the GPA?
No, that's an excellent question. One thing I think that we're not hard enough on is reps coming and representing their actual communities. We don't have enough people who are representing their community. So for instance, I think that it goes back to outreach. You know, letting people know that there is a GPSA. I can't tell you how many times people have been like, what's GPSA? So I think that once we communicate that message, and you know, that can be something that's taken into account for the application process, like a nice clean form. And I'm also willing to talk to anyone who is any ideas about that.
One last question. Okay, I don't see any hands. Okay. So now we can use the Vice President for Operations ballot and write either Victoria or no confidence. Next on our election agenda is for the position of VP Communications. Our current VP comms is Alexa.
Hi, so the Vice President of Communications is responsible for communicating with GPSA does to every graduate field and professional school and maintaining relationships with the relevant administration as well as some of the other faculty on campus. They also are responsible for the graduate newsletter and the social media. The time commitment depends on the time of the year, so right before orientation is a little bit more hectic. So I'd say it could range from 5 hours a week to 20 hours a week, depending on the time of the year, but usually closer to 5 to 10.
Any questions?
question for Alexa? Okay, seeing none, we are open for nominations for the position of VP Comms. Any nominations?
Can self-nominate.
Yeah, you can self-nominate. Alexa's very fulfilled with this position this year. Yeah.
My heart is so full.
Any nominations? And in fact, seeing none, we'll do it vacant. Do we have the VP Ops?
Yeah.
Okay, so I will announce, I'm very proud to announce that Andy Larianos Gomez is our new president. And Victoria is our new boss. So thank you. I will hand over the gavel to Andy now. And he will oversee the rest of the elections for the committee chairs.
Motion to the end of the record. Appreciation for Ms. McCrea and for
thank you so much.
Thank you.
So now we have a council. Would you like to? Yeah.
So council is kind of a weird job. It's weird because the only people who are eligible to do this job as per our charter is people who have previously served as executive commissioners. So there's a handful in the room who don't currently have positions. And I'm not running for it again. There's also the second thing that makes this job particularly kind of change is that it's specifically said in the charter that they are not allowed to be assigned any duties other than those which they voluntarily choose to take on themselves. So it is a particularly cushy job. And you can attend all the executive meetings, speak your mind, and they don't necessarily have to do what you say, but it's a way of the GPSA and kind of internal institutional memory against them. This year, in the last couple of years, I've been going to basically all the executive committee meetings that come with most of the GPSA general audience. And the time commitment has basically included as that. The voluntary thing was about the IU Plus Summit, and I think there was, I haven't discussed it since my trustee election. But other than that, it's a pretty nice job. If you're not running for it this year, you got it in the years ahead. It's kind of one. So, any questions about the job or the role as council here? If you don't have to. Yeah.
Has there ever been a meeting or will be more than one council?
Or is this just no. In the past, we it's also one of the jobs that can actually remain vacant because the potential pool is pretty small. So we have had a vacant council position in the past, Sorry, I have too much drink at the. We have had some zero.
But
Also, the community center workers still here for some.
Thank you, Nate. I'd like to open it up now for a nomination for council. Alexa.
I nominate Alex Boydman.
I accept the nomination.
Excellent. Are there any other nominations for council? Okay, so now we can use the ballot for council.
Hi all, you've probably seen me before once or twice. I've been in the DBSA for 5 years now. I was a voting member for 2 years, field rep for all 5 years, and now I've been at the operation for 2 years, and I still want to be involved with GBSA, but I kind of need to transition to the next crop of candidates, partially because I need to graduate theoretically, and partially because I think that my experience is well suited to this role. One of the things I would like to focus on is getting just more people in the room, because I think that if we have more people, it's A, better representation, and B, better pool candidates for leadership positions. And I guess I'll make it to some things I want to worry about as they crop up. I don't know, I didn't think too much into that part.
Two questions for Alex. Any questions? The second, we can now.
Oh, wait, I do have one other thing. I want to make sure there's actual vegan options.
So now, okay, we use the council and the questions. Okay, guys, we'll go ahead and get started on the chair, student advocacy committees, and these are our community. The first one is the student advocacy committee, and we have our current VP of operations, who will talk a little bit about that.
All right, so the Student Advocacy Committee, the way I view it, it's kind of the primary policy driver in the assembly, alongside the DISC. Where what it does is it deals with issues that pertain to general welfare of graduate and professional students across campus, across disciplines, things such as mental health resources, like issues of inclusion, issues of access, issues of stipends, all sorts of things that cut across departments and fields and colleges. So the way the committee usually works is they have meetings about once every other week where they talk about issues, draft resolutions, invite the administrators to talk about issues, and the chair itself organizes the meetings, chairs the meetings, serves as a point of contact for individuals that are helping with these issues and potentially sponsors resolutions that address these issues that get presented to the assembly floor. So depending on how chaotic the year could be, for example, in my year, that was the year Trump was elected, and suddenly there were 5 resolutions that popped up about things such as sanctuary cities and such like that. Other years, it could be a little quieter. This past year was mainly focused on GBCI. I would say that the committee chair could probably expect to spend anywhere from like 3 to 10 hours a week, depending on the week.
Thank you, Alex. I would also like to announce that Alex has been elected as a council. And now we move on to Q&A with the Synaptic team. Do you have any questions for Alex? No questions. Okay, do we have any nominations? First of all,
motion to hold the committee chair to vacate until the fall.
There's been a motion to keep it vacant until the fall. There's a second. Okay, Motion is approved. We will save it for the call. Okay, next we have programming board.
So programming board, basically, have a chair and have to make sure you co-sponsor the organization on campus. That will hit the back of the graduate commission committee. The second thing, you have a lot of money to play with, so you can be innovative, you can have new ideas for events, you can collaborate, that's the second last semester, you have fixers. And the biggest responsibility is to grab the question ball. That's actually a lot of work, but it's also fun work. Time commitment fall is not that much. You just have to proactively with your emails from like people. By the spring, the workload increases from 10 to 15,000 a week because you have enough questions done well. And the other question.
Okay, I don't see any questions. I would like to open up now to nominations. We have three nominations.
I have to nominate Casey. You should be able to.
Casey, you accept the nomination. Next. Any other nominations?
Hi, my name is Casey. I'm a second year PhD student. I am not currently a field representative at the Bureau of Health and Humanities. So this past year I worked with Josh organizing the international mixer staff at Redline. And I also kind of shadowed the program board at the Illinois Scramble. And this coming year I have a couple of companies for Wild Season.
Any questions for Casey?
You thought you were able to see her again. What was the answer?
Okay. Any other questions? There's been a motion to the Next, we have the Diversity and International Student Committee and Chief of Mexico.
Hello, my name is
Chief
Mexico. So, the role of the committee is primarily to advocate and provide programming for opportunities that primarily affect students from underrepresented backgrounds or students that are international. So, things here is working with administrators and also hosting events and working with the graduate professionals.
question for Eugene about this. Okay, I don't see any questions. I have to open up the nominations. Do we have nominations for this?
Thank you, Eugene.
So I would like to propose that Kavya and I be nominated as co-chairs, with the understanding that Kavya will take over at the full time when she gets back from Gilbert and family.
Okay, there's been a proposal to co-chairs.
Second.
Okay, so the names are Kavya and Eugene. If you have nominations,
we can discuss
that. Okay, but I'd like to open up for discussion. Anyone have any questions? If so, okay. I'll start with you.
Yeah. So I think it's totally fine to do. I think you should do it. And three, I think though, because it's not something that's actually in our roles currently, just the voting numbers only. I think we need to by like 2/3 majority suspend the bylaws to allow there to be a co-chairship. That's the formal procedure that we need to do. But I see there's no reason why anyone should like stand opposed to that.
If that's a difficulty, I can just run it on the diet
anyway. Because it's basically like as long as there's no disseminated background, so you just I think as a part of a parliamentary procedure, just make sure we check in the room.
I would so move the version of the bylaw that requires that these able to allow us to have two co-chairs.
Second.
Do you have one question?
Yes. Okay. So there's been a motion to suspend bylaws. Second. So the bylaws have been
just call for a vote on the voting members.
So we are voting on suspending the bylaws.
Just that part.
Okay. So we're suspending the bylaws that say that there's only one project and opening it up to two. All those in favor of voting members to raise their hand. All those opposed?
All
right. No, I'm not opposed.
So, basically, 10%. Thank you. So, I'm going to ask you, for those in favor, can you raise your hand for the number?
In favor of what?
In favor of suspending the bylaws that state that only one co-chair can be in the cannabis.
I see.
And then we've got the votes. Okay, we do have the two-thirds majority for 18 to 0 to 8. So we can move on with this.
18-0
to 8. Yes.
And allow a co-chair.
The motion does that. Okay. So now people have voted for this, and we can move on to the next. University Assembly delegates. Do we have anyone from the UA? Okay.
Good afternoon, everyone. Undergrads, the employee assembly is employed, act as a set of faculty. You and Briggs are all types of disabilities to address matters that are cross-cutting nature, things, and show conduct, moral health, transportation, parking, infrastructure, and flow, which we work out with the back end, back or circular, we went on the call. Those things are interesting. Who's in it? And then across the entire tech community, which has to be things that are wide and large for AV. So we look at buses in the past, parking, like, time limit varies. Join the UA in the time to serve. This is for the assembly to be bi-weekly on Tuesdays. You also join to serve as one of our committees. Those committees either be bi-weekly, monthly, or weekly at a committee, generally assume two bi-weekly meetings. If you join the assembly, my time limit as chair has been probably closer to 20 to 60 hours a day a week, but I suspect you're running the chair. So anyway, so happy to answer questions, but I don't consider running. Any questions?
What's the time commitment for someone who's not the chair?
I'd say probably around 10 hours a week because you're going to have the employee meeting and a committee meeting and time for prep and going to that. So maybe 5 to 10 hours a week. On average.
Any other questions for that? Okay, I'd like to open up a nomination. Any nominations for you?
Yes, I would nominate Ms. Logan Kennedy and Mr. Green for that.
Okay. We have nominations for any other nominations? Perfect, your exception. So perfect, and there's your exception. Any other nominations?
There's 4 spots.
Hi, everybody. My name is Logan. You guys.
Motion to close nominations and leave the
last debate. There's been a motion to close nominations. There's a second. Seeing none. Okay. You may.
No. Hey, everyone. I haven't been here before. I was lucky enough to fill one of the vacancies for UX here. I'm a first year law student, and the time commitment was large, and at times it was really challenging. However, shared governance is really important to me, and it was important for me to be in a position at a place where we could discuss mental health, diversity, a smoking ban on campus, and I was lucky to be on the CJC for the past year, and the Judicial Committee, and we are continuing the conversation with remanding the student code of conduct, and a lot of members are leaving, and I'd really like to try to get back in there and help. And yeah, next semester and year, my credits pretty much go in half, so it is an added benefit.
So, any, remember that the question that you asked, have to fight for all of them.
Hi everyone, I had the honor of being in on this chain. I've actually been one of Logan's classmates, first year law student. Started here as rep, took up appropriations chair, and I think getting involved in the way would be pretty cool to get involved in bigger picture stuff and just see really what I can do to help with the university as a whole and not just the chain design. Yeah, that's about it. Thank you.
I'm Deb. I'm a second year PhD student here, and I previously sat on the UA this past year as your one of your board delegates, and I shared a lot of sentiment with the other candidates about the shared governance and the necessity for GPSA to liaise with various organizations on campus. And the discussion we've had in UA this past year have been really great. First thing for me, I've been involved mostly at UA CWC, Campus Welfare Committee. And so that's the area where we focus on needs that people across campus, whether it's staff, faculty, or students, might have an integral relationship with. And currently, in the process of advocating for increased child care services on campus, as well as we mentioned earlier, this potential for a smoking ban. The committee is in a bit of a transition right now, and the majority of the committee is leaving. Well, this week we work in the summer. My goal is to continue on the UA so that we can progress and potentially submit a campus-wide survey on smoking habits by the fall. And so that's kind of my intention for continuing on.
Okay. Before we move on to the questions, I'd like to announce that Eugene and Kyle were elected as the co-chair. Before we start with the actual questions, I'd like to remind you that on your ballots, you can arrange them. And so the candidates one. Just so you know. So now that you know about the questions, we have four responses. Are there any questions for the chat? We can now go for the UA.
Yes.
And we will move on to the general committee for the graduate school. And for this, we have two candidates. And we are now moving on to the general committee. Thanks for the previous are Jeff, James, and Logan. Yeah. So now we are moving to the general committee, and Logan is our first. So this is a two-year position. I'll be talking for another year. Dr. Abed is the chief referring counselor. In commitment only of 3 hours, wait, 1 hour, 2 hours, once a month, you go to the doctoral school committee with a committee, the general committee, to discuss the presentation of the doctoral school. But also, you vote on things like academic programs or voting petitions and so forth. We also get to represent the graduate student voice on the national community. Very important to this, the legislation. So, any questions? Any questions from all? Do we have nominations for general?
Yes, I'd like to nominate back that again, so we can serve for another 2 years.
Jack, you have said.
Any other nominations? Becca, would you like to tell us a little bit more?
I prepared some things to read because I wanted to make sure I have a little back to. So because the content of those of our meetings is required relatively extensive confidentiality, I've really limited the types of updates I've been making during the updates throughout the last 2 years. But just to give you a little bit of a general idea of the things that I've got to work on during my tenure in the past 2 years. In general, I have been able to provide a pretty, sometimes very vocal voice in issues and conversations related to the graduate school's recommendations about student stipends and the hypothetical budgets that they use to define them and justify them to be more expensive. And also ongoing debates about the vacation policies that we were talking about, which generally legislates self-graduates and third graduates. It is exciting to announce that last week at our meeting, we finally did vote after multiple meetings and work by others on the executive that you can say to add language about vacation policy for graduate students into the code of legislation. This will not be enacted until January 2020. It takes a lot of behind the scenes to make that possible. But this is something that, while not perfect, I think the fact that these conversations are happening at all is really exciting. So I'm hoping that along with instituting that, as well as conversations that we talk about in the years as research for a new graduate school team. I'd really like to be able to be part of those conversations, not that I found my feet wet. And finally, I think one thing that I'd really like to do is work more closely with the teams to be able to have more updates during these meetings so that it's a little bit more transparent and what the general reaction has. It was made pretty clear to me at the very beginning that there really wasn't much to talk about.
I'd like to announce that the UA delegates have been elected and it will be James. So, next on our agenda, we'd like to do a division breakout.
No, but first of all,
we have a planning committee.
Okay, so we're going to follow our procedures for that one, and we will do the election of the.
Yeah, I'll explain. So basically, it's not listed as one of our things in our elections, so we're going to go over to apps to appoint, unless there's.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, so next on the agenda we have division breakout. So let's do our last division breakout. We'll be probably not going to have time. So, as always, humanities, social sciences, life sciences, design and design, professional tools, numbers.
Thank you.
Thank you. yourself with some grease. I just know how to get more grease from it.
Because many community members voice their
inquiries about submitting budgets for the next time. So I hope that will be clear and satisfying for everyone. And the last part is if you looked at the comments, essentially I want to say 75% of the comments were about the alcohol act. And we added this part, which is shown here in red, which essentially says that you can submit a request petition to be eligible to increase funding for alcohol. And I think it makes sense to include that because there might be events that cannot fund alcohol any other way. So it makes sense to have this clause in the document. However, I would like to ask the community about then the one of to grant these exception. So in particular, we had lots of complaints from wine clubs, and I must say there are only two wine clubs on campus. Yes, no. So there are two wine clubs on campus, and well, obviously we fund them, so we fund alcohol. And the more general question is the community okay with giving alcohol from the organization? I think this is a question that I've heard many different opinions on this, so
okay, so I have a speaker's list and I have Matt first.
Thank you. The question you're asking about alcohol, I think the 10% is a reasonable cap. I personally wouldn't have. Looking at it, in terms of, I would not want to have it so that burdens that their entire allocation of alcohol. I think even if it's a wine club, hey, you're serving alcohol, you should have not alcohol snacks, pizza, chips, whatever that may be. So I mean, I would say that even if we're going to allow people to exceed the 10% gap, for instance, I would maybe change language so that it says organizations, organizations, wine clubs, and their purpose for having more alcohol may apply for exception and spend up to say 40% or 50% on alcohol. I think it's a bad message. We're saying, okay, wine club, you're spending exactly 100% of your FD allocation, which could be up to $1,000 in alcohol. Again, there are, if you're wine club, there are other things you should be spending the money on, such as alcohol snacks or even alcohol drinks.
I think if you follow the transport, you should
have to watch. And we should argue, I would argue, we should be making sure that we're funding that and helping sure the clients.
Next, I have.
I have a different question for not this question. So, kind of like this is also a broader point. I like that there's a chance to appeal, and I feel like that should be something that we mentioned right in the front of us. Like, these are all, there are some things that we are fixed about because of larger community rules, but there are other things that you should be able to ask.
Yeah, my question is very similar to that. Was what's our current policy on like on general stuff? If you have like a good reason for why you might want to, like, I don't want to say violate the policy, but kind of like move beyond it. So let's say I am a representative of a wine club and you have this 10% to your cap, and it doesn't fit, and that's the rule. What's the current policy on it? I said, hey, you know, we're a wine club. This is basically what we do. Under current guidelines, like how does that work currently? On like exceptions.
There are no.
So there's nothing explicit about like if you feel like one of these rules, you know, unfairly maybe constrained for the purpose of your organization.
Okay.
Maybe that's what
you're
considering.
Sorry, clarification point. The 10% tiered cap is new to this provision of the guideline, but this the red part was added after.
Yeah, fair. I was like speaking broadly with this.
Just to clarify, right now there is really here, like there's no 10% model. Right, so what you're hearing from different organizations was a lot of organizations didn't realize they could spend money on alcohol at all. And then we were receiving some budget requests from, you know, sort of first time tier one organizations who wanted to spend all of their money on alcohol and didn't really understand guidelines in place for how you have to run events and how to help them.
Davis? What's the average tier cap per organization in total?
Average? I
mean, sorry, my 10% is gross amount.
So I guess most organizations would be kind of around tier two, which is
$100 in that per year.
Correct.
Okay. And the second part is, I guess I'm a little lost. But is there a reason that restriction on alcohol was added in at all? Or has been added? Was there an event in the past that why we're doing this? Why we're doing this?
Yeah, so just as Carol mentioned, certain organizations, and I would not say a lot, but I would say that if you're a tier one organization and you want to spend $450 on alcohol, I mean, it's just a question of do you really want that?
The community.
Yeah.
Wait, I have a question.
Yeah.
So, okay, I understand. The question is like presuming that we would want all of our FC money being spent on alcohol and sports. But I heard mentioned earlier that there's something that the campus could have kind of mentioned. If you're going to provide alcohol, then you have to provide food or something.
That's cast.
Right, so if you're asking for $450 in your budget and you're saying $450 on alcohol, then that raises the question of are you providing food?
So I mean, I cannot really like go there and check, but like in theory they have an offer where they make their food and they only want.
So
right?
So my thing is like so I think the 10% seems arbitrary, right? And I have no problem if they want to spend their money on alcohol, even if it's all of it. I just want to make sure that they are abiding by the tax code of conduct and that they're providing their food and other things. And so is there a mechanism that we can do that without having an arbitrary level?
I was just going to say, like, yes, it is arbitrary, and that's why we have this clause now, that if you are asking for an exception, then you have to say everyone.
It's definitely here. Before this point, there was no language about or policing alcohol, the money that was from alcohol. Now there is. So this would be the first language on the
FGIS. Yes. But there is also no language saying that people spending money on alcohol had to comply with any of the regulations surrounding alcohol. We needed to add a section on alcohol just because, first of all, most organizations don't know approved drugs. I guess a lot, I'm not sure, but a lot of organizations don't know that they need to spend money on alcohol, and they don't know that there are regulations surrounding alcohol.
Next, I have
Wade.
Hi, all events that include alcohol be in line with the rules that on the university. I feel like the 10% is.
I just want to add something. I'm sorry. I organized three events this academic year that we were comfortable, and the last
we were supposed to have math, functions, and everything. Yeah, they should have. It's smaller, it's smaller than that, and they don't have to submit any kind of really event to the university, so they might, especially if they
I think Matt brought up some good points. I just want to say, like, he brought up, like, maybe 50%, which I think is another arbitrary number you have to keep in mind. Like, these clubs can buy a lot of non-alcoholic beverages and food for a lot cheaper than what they would, like, a wine club would spend on fancy wine. So 50% is still a hamper, I think, there, and even if they had a ton of other options.
I have an issue.
I can't vote, but because we didn't have language in here before, my personal opinion is that this is okay. I just get a concern about the 20%, but I'm actually, because there's this new thing that allows FASB to approve it, I'm okay with this, and I'm potentially in 2 years, based on how we're going to respond to this language, reevaluating it and moving a path or changing the path. Just because we have no information about how we're going to respond to this language and whether this is inflammatory.
Next, I have.
Are we still talking about
business? I can add you to
this. Are we still talking about the 10% cap or just the FC guidelines?
The 10%, yeah.
Matt.
I agree with you. I think that. Unless you're allowing, there's technically cap, this is automatically approved. Again, if you have a reason you want to spend more on this, it's saying, just tell us the reason to approve it. I think, good is because I now got it in silent as opposed to the rule of alcohol. In context, the code in policy 4.8, which is the U.S. Bureau policy and all other drugs, do require them in an alcohol stacks. And again, if someone's going to be spending more than 10%, you may wish to actually be able to walk them through exactly what their obligations are. Also, I will say, 4.8 actually. Guidelines. Oh, rules of alcohol will be in the GPS AFC or SAFC guidelines. We didn't actually have anything in there, and so therefore, the prudent have, I think, prudent have some rules. That's exactly the thing. They're rather pointing at each other, and that was cyclical. And the code allows it to point at points to us. So having, I think, it's a matter of right, 10%, great. Whereas, in essence, you want to spend more, the reason you can't, you just need to talk to us because all of a sudden now it's the, you want to walk through what your obligations are. Again, not even just from the compliance point, but also from a general safety point. Like, you may be following the letter of the rules, but at the end of the day, we don't want somebody to get hurt or otherwise injured because something silly happened that could have been avoided for a advanced conversation.
David, did you have a question? And now,
are we done talking about the 10% cap? I have questions not related to alcohol. I want to thank you, first of all, for addressing the issue of submitting budgets now. I think there's still a little bit of ambiguity. So I am wondering if you could explain what's written in this chart that you showed and what that means. And also, assuming that this is passed by this body, how can organizations deal with budgets in the next academic year, this deadline passed?
So let me answer the second question first. So for this academic year, not apply and could not apply because again, we're now transitioning through the campus groups from Oregon State, and we cannot, so no organization can submit budget requests probably July, I guess. They couldn't even tell me an exact date, so we don't even know when they're going to open the next system. So, yes, so this would only, I mean, I guess this part of the guidelines. Which is, I mean, it's unfortunate, but it's not really. So it's no. It's and our first question.
Maybe you could just clarify what this is saying.
So again, so these are the two budget types are given in the first two rows. And then you can see that the first budget cycle of every academic year ends in April, last Friday of April. So if you want to submit a budget for the next year, you can do it in the April budget cycle that ends in the last Friday of April. And then there will be a budget cycle ending in August, September, November. And again, there will be three budget cycles in the spring semester and the edit this April that ends in the end of April. We also added the summer budget cycle because it was not in the guidelines, but apparently it's been always open. Like if people open the summer budget cycle without putting that in the guidelines, so we just put that in the guidelines. And we included some tutor related dates here too, so if you want to apply for a tier increase, you can do that by the last Friday of August. And if you want to appeal the decision, then you can do it to the last Friday of September. That's essentially the transaction. Is that clear? Okay. Yeah.
So I have a couple of questions. Thanks a lot for this. First, I'm going to say this is the April for the upcoming academic year. This is tentative, right? Because you don't have your tier placement yet. So you could be applying for tier increase application and making money off that.
So probably I would encourage organizations to only apply for the beginning of the year events. So, you know, you might not want to apply for your annual spending if you don't know.
So I have Aaron and Alicia. Do you have something to speak about that?
Yeah, I was just going to say that we removed all references to first thing and then intentionally made vague. But you know, say that you need approvals from the faculty advisor, president, treasurer, instead of saying exactly how everything was going. So I think we made the waiver such that
I mean, where that'll make it more
complicated,
but
like, hey, we've always done this, so how does this rule?
And I guess on that, like, maybe asking because someone has looked at the differences.
So,
if we do follow up on the meeting, we rescheduling this resolution. We have to be introduced as a new resolution.
That was my point to me, is that one, this is our last meeting,
We'll extend the meeting by 20 minutes.
I'm second, so I'll make a motion. Is there any dissent? To extend the meeting for 20 minutes. Is there any dissent? So let's open it up for discussion. So the motion is passed, the meeting will be sent to the Yes,
also caveat, the FC and Alex and I are also very involved in the transition and implementation of the campus group, so we should be able to sort of like tell them what we need to make this happen in the new system. But give us some general idea of what it's going to be like. So I think that the things that are in the guidelines should be clear.
Yes, I just said that I don't understand personally. There are some differences in the core and back end functionalities that sort of that I think would really be right now, it'll be very thorough. I don't think it's so different that with the latest Nisha and Nate's point, if this gets pushed to the fall, you're gonna have a bunch of members committed. They're gonna quickly say, what is this? What's going on? And all of a sudden it's going to go through the entire process again, taking a very long time. So I would say we're going to do today, do it. And then when we make changes, we can always make changes in the layer. Except that I don't think campuses are so different or so strange that we're going to sit there and go, oh, this rule is all applicable. Right? If that happens, I trust the people next to you not to know this rule simply doesn't work. We're not going to punish you because of the system.
Any other questions?
Or
information? Any other questions about the resolution?
And I spoke to lots of publicity. In essence, right now the assembly sends kids with female out. Some organizations and or units slash special schools lock females and they send them to the students. There was talk of potentially maybe adding that as a rule that there is even BKFA funding after that as well. BKFA is sending the occasional email. We're going to do that now. Yeah, in which case there are, we don't use that power of the full funding, but my concern is, I in the law school have never received a single TPS letter because the law school actually is
problematic. Yeah, right now, every law school student community captures this letter because they added in my, because if they added it, I was like, don't put that in.
Any other questions? Alexa, do you add something?
So I sent the, so the law school has a newsletter called Scoop, and I sent that something about the DPCI. So I want to see if that was a fit or maybe not.
Okay. So let's know if you did not get that. Any other questions about the resolution? Questions. I'd like to move forward to formal discussion, and that means we actually talk about the resolution and the amendments or changes. So, I'd like to let's discuss. Are there any amendments done to the any amendments to the resolution itself or any of the documents associated with it?
I was just going to make a motion to close discussion and vote on
it. Okay, there's been a motion. Is there a second?
Or I'm actually decided that because we're not trying to figure out if the law school did it. That would have to be made an amendment.
Okay, then I'd like to modify my motion to table this resolution until after we talk about the next next one and move on to the next one.
Second.
Any dissent? Okay, so to be clear, we're moving on to
school. The next resolution, we'll come back to that.
We'll table this for now and come back to it. And this is, I am a sponsor of this resolution. So I am going to let Alex share this portion of the meeting. So this is the ongoing discussion about the ID Plus student group. And again, this is a friendly reminder, this is about student rules for the ID Plus student government group. The important part of this resolution, to keep it brief, is that it specifies the hosting queue, the financial obligations of each institution, and the voting procedures. Are there any questions?
So the floor is open for questions or comments. Yes?
Motion to close discussion and move to vote on the
All right, there's been a motion and a second to move close discussion and vote on the resolution. Is there any dissent to moving to the vote? Okay. Right, seeing none, all those in favor of this resolution, please raise your platform slash hands. All right, all those opposed. All those abstaining. So, vote of 17-0-9, a resolution is approved.
Are we ready to go back to the previous resolution? So, are there any amendments that need to be made to the resolution?
Yes, I have a motion to amend starting on line 169. So, this is we're going to add, we're going to add bullets 12 and 13. So, 12 will read organizations must allow the GPSA to send email communications to their members using the membership listservs? To their members via their membership listservs. And then 13, the bullet would be, should a school or university unit prevent the GPSA from sending or their students from receiving an email communication from the assembly, the GPSAMC, or the assembly may may, in their discretion, withhold funding from affiliated organizations.
Currently, have these two amendments.
I second that. It does. Okay, so it's been seconded. Now we're discussing.
So we're opening up the discussion. I have.
So for bullet point 12, how would the GPSA be so in essence the all the human federal official layers listener who are new, in essence there's a whitelist that allows you that allows users to send things out at these official institutional list necessarily saying you whitelist it. You may never use it. Yeah, that's not being happy to. It's just saying that the assembly can block contact following 15 feet words to say, hey, this thing may apply to your name for you. You can send out an email.
What would they be able to see?
Not generally. We can request it because yes, you can do it, but generally no. Listserv could be chessclub.com or chess.club.l.org or whatever it might be. Search your club name and it would be sent.
Kate? Oh, sorry.
I think Alexi has a
election
yeah. And also, BPCOM gets the ability to send an email to every single graduate professional student across the entire campus through the Office of the Assembly once a month. And you can check and make sure that your email was sent to the particular student. And if that student did not receive it, you can follow up and make sure that that was served.
So if there's currently an issue where something like a law school is preventing them from voting out, how can student organizations, like a law school student organization, fix that problem if it seems like it's an issue?
So the biggest way to do this is A, threaten to withhold their funding, or B, have law students go directly to their administration and say, I want this email, I don't know why I'm not getting this email. Because they don't want to hear from me as a graduate student, if they're still going to fire me, why are you not going to hear? Much better hear a law student's email.
Never mind. I was wondering if we should add GPSAFC funded organizations, but I think that's redundant.
Just going to add to that, I mean, I can tell you last year, the GPSAFC is one of those universities in the law school. I helped the law school told them, no, they can't. I, the law student, ended up co-sponsoring it, and I received a relatively strongly worded email saying, why are you helping the GPSA present to law students? I found that concerning. But again, I don't think they ever need to withhold funding, but the fact of the matter is, and I hope this is their views, the thing is, you need to need to a backstop and say, hey, you're not going to let us send emails out. And I said, I've never received the GPSA newsletter. When I was an undergrad, I received the SA newsletter every single month. Again, I think it's important that we do what we do with our constituents. The point with a lot of law students have no clue this assembly exists, partially because, as far as they're concerned, the law school stands between them and the law school operates independently. I think we should have the ability to email our constituents. We don't email it excessively, it's once a month. I think it's good for us to do this. And this is just saying that you have to allow us. If for some reason law school doesn't want to hear from the GPSA, that's their prerogative. There's also a safe token that if you want to hear from us, well then why are we throwing money at you if you want to let us talk to your people?
I hear that. And I am not going to stop this from going ahead. And I just think that there's a certain amount that you're threatening to withhold an organization's money because you don't necessarily have control over. General, I'm not sure, but I think we should move forward.
Yeah, so just to respond to this, that in this case, it wouldn't necessarily impact law school clubs. It would impact more the law school FC environment, which is a totally different sort of funding than
there's the CLSA, so there's the clubs that are funded off of the FC, and then there also is the CLSA, which is the Crown Law School Association, which is our umbrella board. They also get money off the FC, I believe. So, in essence, we can start with fully incarcerated, but then you can move along. It's okay, I can tell you from experience, if that were to happen, the law school would get a year full, they would change. It's more of an aggregate, it's not an ideal solution. But at the end of the day, we provide the funding, we have to have some strength to be able to say, okay, look at us. And I really listen to us in terms of who we say, who we even hear representing.
Yeah, so the thing is that remember that we hold the card that where you want your money to decide it kind of automatically.
Right.
But what this is now we're getting the loss and better we're saying like hey, we want to see the email and they say no, we don't think you should receive the email, and then we're giving them the tool to say, look, here's what it says for the item. If you don't allow them, we're going to lose our money. We're going to do it. And that this is actually giving this is giving tools to those students to go to say, here's going to be your own money. If you don't allow it, if you don't want to say these things, you want. But when it ultimately comes down to it, it's still the FDA that decides if we're going to lose money. So it's kind of a win-win situation for us. We need to start understanding clearly that you know, we're serious.
think I have exhausted my.
I have a question about the list. All right, this is very bad. I don't want to take up time. But it says you can serve as a field, two field representatives for two organizations at the same time that you're represented. Does that also include voting members or voting chairs? Okay.
That's way especially.
Motion to vote on the amendment.
There's a motion to have an amendment. That's a second. Is there a second? So none. Those in favor of the amendment, please raise your hands. Any abstain? With the 15-1-10 amendment passes. There's been a motion to
vote on the resolution.
There's been a motion. Is there a second? Seeing none, okay. Those in favor are voting on the resolution. The whole.
My question is, vote to vote or vote on the resolution?
Both on the resolution. Any objections? So 15-11, the resolution. Last item on the agenda, thank you for your patience, is our last resolution about the bigger farm, and I think Paul will talk a little bit more about
it. Very quick. So I work with the director of the Big Red Farm this year on a bunch of things like the GCI, and one of the things she really wants to do over the summer is renovate or change all the seats outside the Big Red Barn. Those are the picnic tables that are out there. They're very worn down if you sat on them, and they probably have nails coming out of them and all that. So she wants to get 10 tables in July and one really accessible to so to change and remove all the old furniture and have all these new ones. There are pictures of those on the resolution document in the appendix. There they are. The resolution tells you how much each table is and how much the cost is going to be to put them all together. And the resolution is asking the appropriations committee to look at what funds are available and to also evaluate whether the cost that was given in the quote are enough or good enough for what the work is. And if it is, then they can increase up to $5,000 to fund those adventures. And the other 5,000 are from the so we're sort of pitching in half.
So I'm helping up to Q&A. So I have.
I just agree. It's George right now, right? But I think it's a good resolution. I think that's what it's doing. It's saying some of the findings that it's worthwhile to make a little bit out of the seating area. It also is putting the pushing the nitty gritty off to incorporate it to actually digging, which is, I think, important to do, considering that we're in the last 5 minutes of the last meeting of the year. So I think it's good about the committee has to still protect everything and are authorized to release 5,000. This is in compliance with our rules. It says high amount of furniture must be authorized by assembly. This is what granted appropriations committee is willing to say, okay, look at this, if it all checks out, you put it up to $5,000 without a blessing. I think it's good so far. We have bigger garden, but this one they will heavily use facilities on the scale for granted professional students to show up on a Friday and see. And I think this is a reasonable request to get it granted if they will power, for lack of a better term.
What was the process to pick these?
She basically asked,
we're just having a conversation, and she was saying, I have, I want to change the tables, and I think she was passing through a rest stop, and she found these outside, and she asked, how long have they been there? They look brand new, and they said they've been out there for about 8 years, or something like that. So they're very durable, and so she went then and found the post of the company online, and that's how she selected the papers.
Have any other questions?
Not to my knowledge. These were the numbers that were provided to me.
Any other questions? What will happen to the other tables?
As far as we're going to take them apart, as to what they're going to do with them, I'm not sure. But if you have any ideas, I'm happy to pass them on to the
director. Can I just say, there is a place on campus where you can give over stuff, and then they either repurpose it or sell it. But if you've got a use for it, I'm mentioning it to Jen.
No,
you kind of have to sand them down, son.
There's still standard in the test there that they lost the
spot.
Yeah, I'll see what you're going to do, but as they are in the implementation, if they're going to use some parts of it, if there are any else coming up, parts of it.
I have one.
Is planned to go on in July. So I'm hoping that the book passes today so that she can do that in July. If not, she'll do half of them in July and the other half in September once Bonnie reconvenes.
She's got money in the budget that needs to be spent before July 1st. That's why she's trying to get at least half of
it.
Exactly. Did you have a comment?
I was going to say, the point of the book today, the program is going to be part of this task to do the due diligence. I need to repack the alternative. The tables don't seem to be incredibly expensive, but also not incredibly cheap. And again, I'm on a corporation, but I imagine we need to have an email discussion and or eventually a virtual meeting just talk through it. Assuming things go in order, this is what somebody must do if corporations is even get anything or to act in this case. So that's what we're doing, tell the corporations to look into it, make our payments, it all works, you're allowing you to spend up to $5,000 and then
recommend. So couple of things. Dining already pledged 5,000, so those are secured for the Big Red Barn, so waiting on that. And there will be more tables than what we have right now. So we have like 6. We're gonna have some tables left.
Any other discussion?
Am I allowed to vote as a sponsor?
Yeah,
it's
a form.
So.
No. There's been a motion to
Is there quorum? Yes.
So there's no dissent. So we are voting on this resolution. All those in favor? Any opposed? So with 16-0-10, the resolution.
This is having a mixer with all the programs, the LGBT
Thank you to the executive committee this year for all the hard work they've done. Rena, as well as Shanti. Thank you all very much.
Noon on Wednesday, May 15th at Gould Street Hall Memorial Room. And it's looking food. You're getting here about the whole thing. The professor's actually you probably have to.
Oh, perfect. I want to thank all of the voting members, committee chairs, and field reps. Thank you so much for all the extra time you put into doing this work. It's really important and we're very appreciative.
Thank you.
Second.
Yeah, we're done.
Thank you very much.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.